Lots of help needed. It needs many hands to complete it, but it's really great to see. And I trust you all walk past and see it. Joe Zammit was out there yesterday hosing it all down, blast hosing it to clean up the bricks, and it's looking a lot cleaner and a lot better, but there's lots more to be done. It's exciting to see it all happening, isn't it? But coming up this morning, you know, time's going so quickly. Already here we are, the 27th of January 2013, and it seems like a blink away that everybody was all anticipating this new year and what this new year was going to bring. Well, guess what? We're into the new year and it's exciting, but each day is exciting. It's not just the year, it's what we put into the year. And on the way up this morning, John said to me again, is today the 27th? And I said, yes. And he said, when's the end of the month? And I said, Friday's the 1st. Yeah. He said, I've got another week of this month left. So it's like countdown now, but God knows and he's interested in everything we do. And you know, sometimes we get so caught up with all of these things that are before us. And of course it is exciting to see that we've lived another year and that we can see the calendar turn over and it changes from 2012 to 2013. But our hope isn't in those things. Our hope isn't in the strike of the clock or the turn of a calendar. Our hope is in the Lord. And you know, the world is so caught up with hope. But it's, I hope this will happen. I hope it rains. I hope this. But you see, we live in an assured hope, a blessed hope. And we don't have to depend on which year we're in. We depend on who holds the year we're in. We depend on that blessed hope that our future is already written. Our destiny is already set. And so that's a blessed, blessed hope. That's a blessed assurance that we need to live in. I don't know if any of you are speaking to Muriel early today, and her and Pastor Chris have seen Les Mis as John and I went and saw it. Go and see it. Yes, it's Hollywood, but it's a very, very good film, and it shows very clearly. It's got a very real spiritual thread right through it. But, you know, it makes us see how blessed we are to be born at such a time as this, in this country at this time. And we shouldn't take those things for granted. We need to look at history and just see the things. But even in those days when people struggled, and even today all over the world there are people that are struggling, and they're not living in the hope of a calendar. They're living in the hope of someone to come and save them. And you see, we need to be able to cry out that he has already come, that he has come, that he is the Saviour and is here for each one of us. Hope is something as important to us as water is to a fish, as electricity is to a light bulb, as air is to a jet plane. Hope is as essential as those things. And without that needed spark of hope, people are doomed to a dark existence. Hope is a vital necessity of life, and it's a gift from God. But it isn't a hope of I hope this and that. It is an assured hope, a hope that has already been placed for us, a hope that we can count on. We don't have to worry about what this year will bring. We have to have the confidence in the one who is going to take us through this year, who's going to take us through this day, this week, this month, and know that we can rest in that and be assured. And to know that he has given us the choice to do with each of those hours and days as we choose. And as we choose to submit our will and become totally obedient to him, then our hope is assured. Then we rest in that confidence and that plan, because he is the one who has set our lives in place. Hope is more than wishful thinking. And I believe that as a church and individually, that we are in a strategic time in our lives, a time of hope and dreams becoming reality. As we grasp hold of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, as we live that out every day in our lives, then our dreams and our hope can become a reality, because he is the God of hope. So it's easy for us to profess that God, with God all things are possible, but it's another thing to have that unshakable conviction. And this morning I want to speak and go back into the scripture about this wonderful promise and this conviction of all things are possible with God. And I want us to look at Luke chapter 1. And we'll read from verse 1. Verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent an angel to Nazareth, a town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are mightily favoured, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob ever. His kingdom will never end." Mary said, "How will this be?" Mary asked, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. And then I want to go to verse 45. "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in you, O God, my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. For now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Father, we just pray that you would bless your word to our understanding, that we might see the depths of the things that you desire us to reach into, that we might grow to full stature in your promises, in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we have an incredible situation. A day like any other day, and a young girl, and led to believe she was about 15 years old, a girl who was not special in the sense if you put her amongst many other girls, wouldn't have stood out. But you see, God saw her heart. She was a girl who truly loved the Lord. She was a girl who had kept herself for the man that God would bring to her for a husband. And she was already betrothed to be married to a man, her sweetheart. She loved Joseph dearly. She had all the dreams and promises that every young girl has as she's getting ready to be married. And here she was this day outside just walking around. I don't know exactly what she was doing, but it was a day like any other day, and suddenly this tall stranger comes and presents himself before her and tells him these things. And the angel said to her, these things that were going to happen. Now, you know, when we read it, we think, oh, that's wonderful. Mary just surrendered. Can you imagine what was going on inside of her? And there were many things that Mary could have said. And sometimes, you know, it's an ordinary day, or it has been an ordinary day. It was an ordinary day when the Lord Jesus came to me and he spoke to me and he called me into his salvation and into his kingdom. And there were many things that I didn't understand. There were many questions that I had. But this awesome grace that came, this love, was just so captivating that I surrendered. And you see, with Mary, there were many questions. Here she was going to be married. Her dreams were of a wonderful wedding, of a family celebration, of getting married, and her future was already laid out before her. And now here she's told that she's going to have a child, that she is going to become a mother of the Most High God. Now we know, I just want to say here, that we know that there's been a lot of deliberation over the years over Mary. We know that there are some religions that see her and read, as it says here, that she would be blessed most blessed in that there are many religions that put Mary into a status that God never intended. But at the same time, we can't overlook her because God chose her to be the mother of our loving Saviour, Jesus Christ. He chose her to be a special person, and her obedience was imperative to the whole plan. And so there are lots of things that Mary could have said, but she asked a reasonable question, and she said, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And I think Gabriel's response would have been the same to you and me today, because the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." And this is just exactly how God moves in our lives. But getting back to Mary, when we think about it, and sometimes when God comes and brings a tremendous promise to us, we can get so caught up in the promise and we think, "This is wonderful, my life's going to be easy." No. Mary's obedience didn't bring easiness. It brought a lot of turmoil. It brought a lot of conflict. It brought a lot of struggle. And it can be like that in our lives. When we accept, when we hear the word of God to us, then we take that and we stand in obedience. But it can bring struggle. It doesn't always bring, but the outcome is awesome. It is wonderful. It is beautiful. Because these trials and tribulations and difficulties are all part of God's plan to bring us, to yield us, to grow us to where he wants us to be. And so we see that the angel said that the Holy Spirit would move upon her. The Holy Spirit has not only come upon you, but he's taken residence in you. The full power of God dwells within you and is ready to do something supernatural. Do we really understand that? The only way this awesome thing could take place was that the power of the Holy Spirit would overshadow Mary. And do you know the Holy Spirit has come and overshadowed each one of us that is a born-again believer? Acts 1:8 says, "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be you will see what's the next world, witnesses." He empowered Christ to preach, he empowered Christ to proclaim, and he does the same with us. He has come to empower us. Only the Spirit of God could empower Mary to do what God had required. Only the Spirit of God could impregnate her when she was a virgin to bring forth life. And you see, the Spirit of God has impregnated each one of us with life, with power, with authority, with ability, with a purpose. And he just wants us, like Mary, to relinquish our will and surrender to that power. He empowers us to proclaim, to overcome. The purpose of the Holy Spirit growing in us is to grow us into the likeness of Christ. And you know, that isn't always easy. That can be painful, because we each have been born with the flesh. We've each been born with a strong will. We've each been born with a weakness to sin. And as the Spirit of God comes upon us, his desire is, Jesus Christ's desire is, that we surrender those things, that we relinquish that will, that pride, those things that have been set in our own agendas, and we say, "Yes, yes, Lord, I will submit to your will." And Mary said, "May it be as you have said," and then the angel left her. But you see, as I said, I believe there would have been a pause between when the angel said it and when Mary asked the question, "How could this happen?" and then the angel answered her. I believe there would have been a pause. May not have been a long pause, but there would, just imagine the things going through her mind. Just imagine the things going through her mind. But then, because she was totally yielded to God, because she saw this was a supernatural visitation, because she acknowledged and saw that this was an angel that had come, not just any ordinary man. It was an angel of the Lord who'd come to present himself with this important, present himself to her with this important message. And so she surrendered. Why? Because there was already a place set in her heart. She had already prepared a place. I spoke earlier last year about preparing, preparing a room, preparing a place. Is that place prepared in you today? Are you ready for God to speak something into your life? Not new to him, but it may be new to you. You know, when I was saved, it was an awesome experience, and I've shared it with you before. But my life was anything but of God. I was brought up in a very difficult situation. And my life, as far as I was concerned, was over. I didn't want to live. And then this awesome God spoke to me, and he called me by name. He called my name. He said he knew all about me. And I was just caught with such a caught up in this rapture of this awesomeness. And I went forward and accepted something, someone I didn't know anything about. I didn't understand what was happening, but I knew that it was awesome. I knew that it was powerful. And you see, like Mary, like each of us, when I was able to testify about that, it wasn't wonderful. I was beaten to within an inch of my life, literally beaten nearly to death. But you see, the impartation was so powerful. The glimpse of this glory was so great. The love of this grace was so overcoming that it didn't matter. It really didn't matter. I was not going to let go because I had a glimpse of life. I had a glimpse of this hope that was real, that was lasting, that was fulfilling. And that's what the Lord wants us to have. That's what Mary saw, a glimpse, a glimpse. And so she surrendered. She surrendered all. She surrendered all. And God is going to do such an amazing thing. Now is the time that God wants to turn your hopes and your dreams into reality. He's done it before and he can do it again. But you see, it requires us to believe. It requires us to say, as Mary said, may it be as you have said. May it be as you have said. What has God said to you? What promises has he given you? And there are many things that God speaks to us. And in the natural, it seems impossible, doesn't it? To me back then, today seemed impossible. Just a future to me seemed impossible. A life where I could smile, a life where I could skip and laugh and enjoy my whole life, this wonderful life that God has given me, with its struggles, with its trials, but joyful because it's been set and grounded in him. My security has been in him. I could never imagine that. And yet God said that he loved me, that he called me, he created me, he'd redeemed me, that I was not to fear, that he had my life in his hands, and I believed it. If there was nothing else, I believed it. And so God then went on to fulfill that. It's time for us to respond in faith. It's time to take God at his word. It's time to position yourself. Are you positioned to receive? Are you positioned? Are you standing with your feet on the ground, but your spirit soaring to the heavens? Are you positioned to read this word and to allow this word to permeate your being? To read it and believe that it's a letter written to you personally, intimately, that it's a truth that doesn't fail? Are you ready? It's time to move forward into expectation. What are you expecting for this year? What are you expecting for this day? It's time to speak creative words. Do you know that the Word of God tells us we are to speak his word in faith, and that's a creative word. As we speak it, so it will be. What are you speaking over your life, over your health, over your family? Are you speaking not hope, not dreams, not your wishes? Are you speaking this word? His will be done. Are you speaking his word of life into your situation? There is nothing that is impossible with God. There is nothing that is impossible. Among the many great things that God did for Mary, the greatest was that she was privileged to carry the Son of God within her very being. This was the greatest way that she was blessed. She was the carrier of the presence of God. This morning, I want to remind you that if you are a born-again believer, if you've accepted Christ as your Saviour, you carry the very presence of God within you. Do you realise that? Do you think about that? You know, sometimes when we come to church or we're in a meeting or we're talking with someone and things are going good, we're aware of that. But some mornings when you get out of bed and you're not feeling very well, when your body's aching or you feel ill, or you've got bills to pay that you can't afford, or you're out of sorts with someone in your family, are you aware that even then you carry the presence of God? And that He is greater and more powerful and more able to overcome all of those things than anything you could ever do? That at that moment we need to stop and allow the Spirit to soar within us with a reminder of this awesome presence that we carry. The Saviour of the world has come by the power of the Holy Spirit and impregnated us with His life. His life everlasting. His life fulfilling. This life that will not end. We need to be reminded of that, brothers and sisters, so much. It says in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We're reminded around communion about how he gave himself. His body was ripped and broken. Was that beautiful? Jesus Christ said to the Father, I will. He was obedient to the Father's will. And what came next was pain. But out of that pain came glory. Are you prepared to wear whatever it is that God calls you to walk through, knowing that He already has the answer? He already has your future in His hand. And it is for good. Whatever we do in His name is for good. It is for our best. I was really thrilled this morning, Noel, that you chose songs with hope in it, because it so fitted the word about hope. We need to have that hope. One of the greatest things that we can do this year is walk through every day with that revelation that we are the carriers of the presence of God. This is so powerful. It is so powerful, and it will lift you, not lift you into ecstasy of romance, but into a spiritual realm that will further strengthen you and increase you. I encourage you to pause today and ask the Holy Spirit to bring you a deeper revelation of this truth and what it literally means to carry this presence. To carry this presence wherever you are. Do you know, it will change your life. It'll enable you to walk when you're weary, to run when you faint, to stand when you feel that you can't stand. It will enable you to do all things, but more than that, it will enable you to radiate His presence out to a broken world. You see, if God has called you for a purpose, it doesn't matter what, or in that sense, it doesn't matter what comes against you, because God has already given you the ability to overcome it. His purpose will be shown forth in you no matter what your situation is, if you have this great revelation deeply permeated into your being. We meet people all the time and we can muck it up so easily. People are looking not so much to hear the words we say, they want to see it living in our lives. They want to see the revelation of what we say witnessed in our very lives. And as we do that, they can't argue with that. They can't argue with what they see if it matches what they hear. We need to be living that my God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think, according to His mighty power at work within me, this Holy Spirit. Amen. To know that He gives us the overcoming power. And sometimes we think, oh, this has come upon me. I've got to fight it. I've got to struggle. No, we just rest in His promise. We rest in His promise and become aware that His healing balm is working within us and He will make a way. He will make a way, because He says there is no trial or temptation or struggle that will come upon you that He has not made a way out. And I've found many ways out in Him, only in Him. Only in Him. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. What a powerful testimony. One that we need to have as well. Do you feel blessed because you believe? You believe what it is that God has promised you. I want to be a person who believes what God says. I want to stand firm against all apparent contradictions, and there are many. Sometimes we're confessing something that in the natural looks impossible. It may feel impossible, but God doesn't ask us to react to what we feel or what we see. He asks us to react to this word. He asks us to react to what His Spirit is speaking into my heart. And if He says to me, Pat, you can do it, well, I will do it. Because that is the power of God. That is His grace. He said to Jesus Christ, you can do it. You can do it. I don't believe that there was a script written out for Jesus about what was going to happen. He was to walk in obedience. He knew his life was to be taken. Did he imagine, could he have comprehended what was going to happen to him? I don't think so. Not in the depth. Because it's not until we stand there that we can feel it, that we know. There are things that happen and we think, how did that happen? But you see, God is with us in that happening. And God gave Jesus the ability to do what he commanded him to do. He just asked him to be obedient. Mary believed something that seemed absolutely impossible. And this was not a small step of faith. It was a step of faith that she just had to believe. And that was awesome. You might be facing some great giant in your life today or even during this year. But I declare with God all things are possible, and your giant in him has been defeated, and you will defeat it if you stand in him. If you know this very presence that you carry, if you know that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you know, the Holy Spirit is not the one who wishes to be glorified. We are not to cry out to him. He comes to glorify Jesus. It's Jesus who is our Lord. Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. It's Jesus that we need to be intimate with. It's Jesus that we need relationship with. And as we do, the Spirit of God will stir within us. Yes, I believe each one. And if you haven't, I believe you need to seek the prayer ministry of tongues. You need to know what it means to be filled, to know that confidence. Yes, when you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, confessing him, speaking in that heavenly language that is just so intimate with the Father. And to be able to do that further lifts our spirits, lifts our hearts, and reveals more of the Saviour to us. God always completes what he starts. And my story's not ended yet, as yours isn't. God is still, I'm a work in progress, as you are. But God is progressing us to his great plan. And it never ends, because we will be seated with him in heaven, in that glorious place. And so our life just goes from one thing to the next. So let's walk with him. Let's believe his word and his promises to us. And let's set our hearts and minds on faith that no matter what, we'll believe him. It's time for dreaming and those dreams to become reality. You know, I'm sure in this room that you've had many words spoken over you. The Lord has spoken words through prophetic words, through prayer, or spoken into your heart. What have you done with those words? Have you pondered them in your heart, as Mary did? Have you collected them? Are they there for the Spirit of God to remind you? Ah, the Lord said this. The Lord said this would happen. Or have you forgotten them? What do you talk about in your everyday life? What do you talk about? When the service is over, what do you talk about? Do you stand awestruck? It's not me or Pastor Chris or Pastor John or Noel or Gary or Lewis or any of us. This is the word. You need to examine it with this and see what we're saying is the word. If it is, you should be awestruck. That afterwards to say, wow, what a word. Do you know what God said to me? Because that's what I do. I say to John, or he'll say to me, that, you know, that was awesome. And it may not be the whole, but there'll be a part that will speak directly into you, because that's what the Spirit of God has brought you here for today, to speak to you, to encourage you, to enlighten you, to lift you, so that you will stand in the full strength. Don't come at half measure. Don't say, I can't, because you can. But we need to be soaked in it. Doesn't mean that we can't talk about other things, but our first thought must be, wow, God said this to me. Not that was a good message or what she said was good. No, God spoke to me. God said that to me, and it really grabbed me right where I needed to be grabbed. I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to ponder that word. I'm going to allow God to process it through my life so it outworks in something. That's what we need to be doing. That's what we need to be doing. The angel of the Lord told Mary that she was going to give birth to a son, and then he told her the Holy Spirit was going to come upon her. So the angel was telling Mary something, and then he said to her, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to give birth to a child in her old age. What a wonderful miracle. Only God knows that. Whatever your promise is that God has given you, don't let it be robbed by the distractions of the world. Don't let it be robbed by negative words of other people. Hold on to that promise. When God speaks, he means it. God is the giver of good things, and what he has promised, he will fulfill. But you see, our faith, we've been learning in ladies a lot about our words and about our brain and how our brain functions. One day I might speak on it. But whatever we speak, whatever we think affects our brain. And what affects our brain affects our whole system. You see, John and I have always given thanks before we've eaten. We've asked God to bless the food wherever, whenever we've been there. And we've had people say, oh, that's a nice little thing, and isn't that sweet? No, to us it's a very deep spiritual thing. Because we believe with all of our heart that as we do that, not only will God settle our hearts and our being to receive this food, he will bless the nourishment of that food to our body, but he will also bless us with strength and health. That is faith. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when God has given you something, you need to believe the truth of what his word says, that with him all things are possible. What is it you're dreaming of? What is it that you desire? Not just this year, but today. Believe it is possible. Believe that God has already done it. Don't look at the negative. Don't allow your life to be poisoned with negative thoughts. But believe, as Mary said, as the Lord has said, it will be. And also I believe in this, that when God was, the angel was telling Mary that her relative was receiving, we're to think outside as well. The angel was telling Mary that God was up to incredible good in other places also, because God is working in many areas. He's not just working in me. And so I think that God is encouraging us today to start looking at one another, to start looking at one another with joy and hope, and to see the beautiful fruit bursting in each other's lives, not to look negatively, but to look encouragingly, to look expectantly, and to see the things that God, to be interested in one another, but more so to have our eyes of faith open to see the beautiful fruit that God is bringing forth in one another's lives. He is bringing resurrection life for once dead relationships. He's bringing people out of bondage and slavery and setting them free. He's causing hope and passion to come into the lives of those who once were lost. God is up to good things, and it's time for us to look around. It's time for our eyes to be open, to appreciate and to praise God, rather than be thinking, oh, I wish this was like this, or I wish this person was... No, look with hope. Look with hope. I really honour my husband in many, many ways, but particularly in the area of the way he conducts himself, that he doesn't have any great expectations of people. He doesn't say, oh, gee, they let me down today, they didn't come, because he doesn't feel it's him. This building, whatever he does, is for God. It is God's business. And it is God that does the business with the hearts of people. where I have to say, I can think, oh dear, I wish that person had have come. John says, well, they must have had something else. If they didn't, that's between them and God. But his faith is to believe that God will stir hearts and that building will be completed because he's seen it happen before. But you see, there's two ways we can look at things. We can see one another through God's eyes, or we can see one another through our own broken images. And God is calling us to see one another through God's eyes. And that is how we will encourage one another, even without a word. Then the angel finished with a powerful statement and said, "Nothing is impossible for God. Our God is able. God has a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives. His plans are good and they're always working for our good. But some people, some of us, are waiting for breakthrough. For some of you, your dreams seem to be exactly that, just a dream. There have been questions. Where will these things come from? How will God do this? I desire this, but will it ever become a reality? I believe the time is now. There's no better time than now. God doesn't want us to think we've got to wait for the future. It doesn't mean that we will see everything now, but God is wanting to open our eyes to see now, to see what he's doing in the now, to see that our dreams are a reality if they're hidden in him. In the natural, we may question how this is possible. We may often see impossibilities, and although we trust God, we have been waiting for a long time. And we can think, will this ever happen? Will this ever happen? Well, it is happening. It is happening. But you see, that's the difference. God wants our faith to be activated, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. We have to believe and see that thing as touching. We have to believe and see it as touching. That is faith. Today, I want to plant a seed of hope in you, an expectation that God will do something in your life today that will turn your God-given dreams into a reality. And you can say, oh, look, I've heard this before. I've heard this before and I'm still waiting. But you see, God is with you in the wait. He is working his will in your life in the wait, and he is doing something wonderful. What the Holy Spirit wants to do in the end is to make you a powerful witness for the glory of Christ, a transforming power. Would God leave you broken and hopeless? Is that a great testimony and witness to the world? No, he wants you to be fulfilled, overcoming, overbrimming with every good and perfect gift that he's got to give. Why would God give to one and not to another? If you're a parent, can you choose between your children? I can't. I can look at my children and think, oh, she's wonderful, but oh, so is she and so is he, because we all have different attributes. You look at your children and tell me how you can choose. If you know the Lord and see that they are a precious gift, how do you think God can look down and say, well, I'm going to give that to Rachel, but I'm not going to give it to Anne, or I'm going to give that to Gadjan, and I'm not going to give it to Raj? God's not like that. God wants to bless each one of us, but he wants us to stand in that place of expectation, to position ourselves to receive all that he has to give us. That's the purpose for which the Spirit does his work. Talk about important. We are so important. Not important as the world knows importance, but do you know you're so important that God would send his Son to die for you, to give you the greatest gift, his Holy Spirit, to give you the gift of life eternal. Is that not important? Is that not important? Doesn't it make you feel special? Don't you often walk down the street and think, I have the power of God living with me, and makes you feel 10 feet tall, makes you feel that you're full of joy and you can give that joy away? That's what God wants. That's how he wants us to live. What does the Holy Spirit want to do in your life? He wants to shape you into the very image of Christ. The very image of Christ. and then give you your desires. When you were born, no one said, oh, this is another holy one. No, you were another baby. To your parents, you were beautiful and you're wonderful, but to the world, you were just another baby. But this is what he desires to do, to make you special, to take you from one level of glory to the next and then to the next, increasing the image of Christ within you. One day, he will raise you and make you exactly like Christ, and in the meantime, he's working in you. God created each one of us to be a victor, not a victim, to jumpstart your day celebrating the very best that God has for you. I just want to read a quote before I close from Spurgeon. Can I find it? Here we are. Let this one great, gracious, glorious fact lie in your spirit until it permeates all your thoughts and makes you rejoice, even though you are without strength. Rejoice that the Lord Jesus Christ has become your strength and your song. He has become your salvation. This is the glorious hope. Do you know that hope today? Will you open your hearts to receive the depth and the reality of this glorious hope that has come to envelop you, to overpower you, to fulfill you, to grow you, to make you all that he has called you to be. Father, I just bless you and thank you for your word today. I pray, Father, that your spirit would take your word, not mine, your word, and pour it, Lord, deep into the heart of each one. That, Lord, each person here today has a dream, has a hope, has something that they desire, something that they are praying for, Lord God. Father, I pray right at this moment that you would, Lord, increase their faith, increase their hope to believe again that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all, above even that very thing they desire, according to the power of your spirit that's at work within them. Lord Jesus, I pray that each one may be focused, we might each focus on you and see you afresh today, Lord. See your resurrection power afresh. See you, as it were, standing in front of each one of us, loving us, drawing us, calling us by name, intimately, Lord, into your glorious presence, into your power, and that we might be again enveloped by that power to enable us to believe for the impossible. For you are the God, nothing is impossible. You are the God of the possible. You are the God who speaks creative words over us. You are the God who lifts us to believe that you are able to do those things. Lord, bring each one this morning that we might lay before you, Lord, whatever it is that we struggle with, whatever it is that we call on you for, whatever it is that we need, that we would surrender it to you, Lord God, and walk in the hope of now receiving it. In Jesus' precious name, we praise you. Amen. Thank you, Lord.